values, knowing what women is. That's what I want for him. Now, I might be gone, but I'm praying for him every day. And I'm praying for these girls, all three of these girls, that they have to stick together to do for him. But make him mine and make him do things boys should do. I just want us to stay together so we can raise this child, because we got to do it. Yeah. We got to do it. We got to do it. There's not a man that's going to do it. And I know that we can do this. I know the Lord can fill us so with kindness, amen, with anything. Yeah. But I want this child here to be a good child. I know I can't get him to be a child like I grew up when I grew up that road, because all these stuff can change. But Lord, I want him near close as I can to be a good child. So I want you to pray for us today, because this is my family. Just pray that we do him good and pray for us to stay together. That's all.
The scripture says us, train up a child. It doesn't say train up a boy. It doesn't say train up a girl. It doesn't say train up a teenager. But it says train up a child. There's an old saying, which is not true, that women don't know how to rear young boys to become men. Dr. Ben Carson came up in a single mother's family. Look at him today. The great basketball player, Michael Jordan, came up single parent family. I can go down the list, and they all turned out great. This young man here is going to do the same thing. They train up a child in the way he should go, and when he get old, he won't depart. If the plant of Jesus, the seed of Jesus planted in his heart, got to give it time to grow. You plant some plants that come up overnight. Some you have to wait and wait and wait. But if you do what God has asked you to do, and I know you are already doing it, and you have a lot of love, and you want to need it, and that love can't help but to get in him. Each one of you do.
That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm asking.
You might not see it, but it's there.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Is there anybody out there? Now get your Bibles in the sanctuary and over in the overflow and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Turn them, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word today. We thank you for the Holy Ghost and his ability to explain your word as we enter into the text. And as he tells us the truth that we're teaching today to meet every heart and faith, we thank you in advance for what you shall reveal to us and empower us to do and to become for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We dealt at our earlier service with the person of the Holy Ghost and part of his purpose. And then now we want to deal with a continuation of his purpose, but also with his power in the body of Christ. In this 12th chapter, I want you to see, beginning at verse 1, these words. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And then it goes on further to list a whole lot of what we're going to get into, but having read that, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Paul deals with the gifts of diversity in the body of Christ, speaking to the church at Corinth and dealing with perhaps what might have been an issue at that time, as it still seems to be an issue in the body of Christ, and certainly in certain denominational realms, perhaps the uncertainty of the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer and in the body of Christ. And so, as Paul wanted to straighten out the matter, bring more clarity to the matter, it is my desire that the believers not only understand the person, the presence, and power of the Holy Spirit, but walk in it with authority and his anointing. The word says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. And I think this qualifies it immediately by helping us understand that spiritual gifts are not for non-spiritual people.
That's right. That's right.
Brethren addresses the brotherhood of faith, those who are believers. He says, I would not have you ignorant. I would not have you unlearned, misinformed, or not knowledgeable. He says, ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. And he's talking about as ye were heathens, you participated and practiced some beliefs, being pulled into certain things that you really didn't believe in, and serving gods or idols that were dumb and could not really speak to you. He says, wherefore, verse 3, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Now he's moving into helping folk understand there are just some things that saints won't say. Whom the Spirit of God lives or resides on the inside of. And so he says, what you need to know is the Spirit will never ever lead a saint to say Jesus be cursed. The Holy Ghost will never ever use you to put down Jesus. He says, I need you to understand that. But then he goes on a little further and he says that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So on the one hand, he can't curse him. And on the other hand, he can't claim him.
All right.
That's it. The Holy Ghost is the one who is going to give credence to anything that is aligned with the Word of God and bring to exposure those things that are not. That's one of the reasons why, again, when you know the Word and when someone is operating in the Word, the Spirit of God or the Spirit of truth will bear witness to it. If, on the other hand, they are operating in religion and or denominational ritual,
and it seems to be holy or has to it attached to it some semblance of that that is holy, the Spirit of God will contradict it, expose it, expel it, say, listen, this is not of God. And only those who know, number one, the Word of God and have the Spirit of God living on the inside, functioning on the inside, will catch that. And so that's why you can see, and that's why I said it's so important to understand the operation of the Holy Ghost, to understand what he does, what he does not do, what he says, what he does not say. And you don't have to judge folk. Remember, we're not called to be judges. We're called to be inspectors. We're going to see if the word that one speaks or says or shares lines up in context with what God says. The Spirit of truth will bear witness to that, and there is a peace underneath the skin about it. So again, as he moves on, he starts talking about the diversities of the gifts. Verse 4, he says, now there are diversities or various gifts, but the same Spirit. Somebody say the same Spirit.
Same Spirit.
Now, what's going to be important about understanding the same Spirit is because if it is the same Spirit, then there's never going to be a conflicting course. There's never going to be a confusion in the body or the fellowship if the same Spirit is operating in all of us.
Amen.
Now, here's what you need to understand. Here's what you need to recognize. That if the Spirit of truth is operating and the Spirit of error is operating, there's going to be a clashing. There's going to be confusion. There are going to be folk wondering, well, what's right and what's not right? Who's doing the right thing? Who's not doing the right thing? Now, one of the things that you're going to always be able to tell, and that's how you know things are done decently in order, is the Spirit of truth is going to have a record that you can refer to. The Bible. You can see whether or not it's being acted according to the word or enacted according to the power of the Spirit of God. If it is not, and if it does not, it is not of God. Now, because so many of us are not really keen to understanding spiritual things, and we make it more mysterious than it ought to be, especially as we are believers, and especially as we are students of the word, and especially as we have the indwelling person, presence, and power of the Holy Ghost residing on the inside of us, it's not that complicated. That's what the devil wants you to believe. It's just too complicated. No, it's complicated when you don't have truth, when you don't have the word, when you don't understand the purpose of the Holy Ghost in the body of Christ. Now look at what he says. Now there are diversities or differences or various gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities or differences of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, God the Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father are all at work in these spiritual gifts, administrations, and operations. There is a unity in the Trinity. And so you're going to understand that one is not going to violate the other or act in conflict of the other. It's all going to work and operate as they know their roles and their functions and then give dispensation in those same arenas, but they're all going to work harmoniously together. One is not going to cancel out or conflict with the other. That's the way the Spirit of God works. That's the way the Word of God works. That's the way the will of God works. And when you know that, again, you begin to see and understand that with clarity. Now notice again the word says, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for what purpose? You see, what you've got to understand, and the New International Version says for the common good. Now here's what you need to understand. When people do not accept or receive the gift of the Holy Ghost to be resident in them, they are turning down the opportunity to prosper and do good.
Yeah.
Let me read the verse again. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who?
Every man.
Every man to do what?
Profit with all.
To profit with all. for the common good in every area. That's not just spiritual, but that's secular.
All right.
If I want to be successful in business, I really need the Holy Ghost.
That's it. That's it.
If I want to be the best employee, I need the Holy Ghost. If I want to be the best and wise student in money matters, et cetera, et cetera, I need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He is going to help me to profit with all for the common good of me and everything connected and concerning me.
Amen.
So don't think it's just for spiritual gifts that the Holy Ghost causes you to prosper, to profit, to gain, to experience or do good. And so that's why it's important, again, that you understand the great gift to the body the Holy Ghost is. And when you understand that, and again, because so many people have operated in error, a whole lot of us don't want the Holy Ghost. I mean, even out of our ignorance and misunderstanding, even when we didn't know better, I said yesterday at our BTU fellowship, you know, even the songs that we sung did not give justice and due to the Holy Ghost in a proper form. I said, you know, we sung songs like Something Got a Hold of Me. Oh, yes, it did. I say something. Some of you are like, what's wrong with that? The Holy Ghost is not an it. He's not a thing. He's a person. So if the Holy Ghost got a hold of you, how would you look? I like somebody say, if you were something, if you were it, oh, it got a hold of me. Who is it? No, no, you are referred to as a person, not an object or a thing. And so even in the singing, the formation of the song came out of an ignorance of truth. And see, that's why when we know better, we got to do better. We got to correct that kind of thing. There are a whole lot of songs sung in Jesus' name, but not really connected with his name. And when we know better, that's why certain songs, I will not allow our ministry of music to sing. No, no, we're not going to sing that because that doesn't line up with Scripture. It might sound good to you because, you know, if you don't know better and you're hearing that and it ain't better, it sounds good to you. But you cringe when you know something is conflicting with Scripture and folks shouting on it.
That's it. All right?
That doesn't work. That doesn't work. I'm not going to give credence to something that does not give due diligence to the word. And so that's what we've got to teach our folk and experience certain things and understand them. But the spirit of truth is going to bring that kind of thing to your knowledge. Again, it's going to help you. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is to help you profit with all in every area and aspect of your life. Now notice where he starts to go down and break down the different gifts and so forth. Verse 8 says, for to one is given by the by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, the message of wisdom. The Holy Spirit speaks to somebody's heart, gives them a word or a message of wisdom. Then the word says, to another, the word of knowledge. Now look at what follows. By the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another, faith. By the same Spirit. Now, this is talking about miraculous faith to believe God. This is not talking about the normal faith. This is talking about supernatural faith. To believe God for the truly unbelievable. To believe God beyond what faith itself generally believes God for. This is a supernatural anointing of those persons who have the faith to truly walk in the supernatural realm in great, great measure. He says, but that comes by the same Spirit. Now listen again, it says to another the gifts, plural, of healing by the same Spirit. Now listen at this, the gifts, notice this word says of healing, and notice it didn't say the gift of healing, because healing comes in many forms. See, somebody might have their gift and the ability to lay hands on folk and they become healed. We have demonstration in the word where that happened. Some people had aprons and napkins that were placed on their bodies. And by that same instrument, that point of contact, were taken to many different cities and places and laid upon the sick and they recovered. Sometimes the word was spoken. The gift of speaking the word.
That's it.
A word of healing. Somebody caught it in their spirit, a rhema word. This is my word. I'm going to be healed today from this word. No hands were laid on them. Nobody touched them. Nobody prayed for them. They had the ability to speak a healing word, and somebody grabbed it in the spiritual realm and received it, and they got that. And so you need to understand. But now let me tell you another. There is another one now, again. There is another one of a lesser but nonetheless less effective ability to be a gift of a healer, healing and be a healer, and that's in the medical practice.
Amen.
Now, for some of you get so super spiritual, God wants you to understand that some of your faith won't rise greater than a doctor.
That's it. Right. That's it.
And I'd be John Montgomery if I'm going to die because I ain't got faith enough to believe for a supernatural healing when I can go to the hospital and get something taken out by one. God has given the gift to be able to go into the body, know how it functions and operates, and take care of my problem because I'm trying to act super spiritual. I'm sorry. I say I'm going to have operation 2 tomorrow at 7 o'clock. I want y'all to pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for the doctor who's going to cut on me.
It's all right.
I'm trying to talk to you super spiritual folk whose faith don't line up with what you're talking. Now, as I grow and mature and come to another level of understanding and another level of operation in the Spirit of God, and I can believe for Him to have a supernatural divine effect on me, that's another story. But if I'm not there,
that's it.
God has placed in the body,
that's it,
someone to handle me on that faith level. And so the word says gifts of healing. Say amen, Pastor.
Amen.
See, half of you miss it. I said, say amen, Pastor. Y'all say amen. I need the gift of hearing. But notice again the ending phrase in verse 9. By the same Spirit. Verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. Listen at this now. Notice how the word just keeps referencing different individuals, but the same Spirit. Different gifts, but the same Spirit. Now listen at this. The word says, to another the working of miracles. Now, I need you to see this because the operation or the working of miracles is still as real and relevant today in the body of Christ as it was in biblical days. Now, listen at this. Listen at this. If we understand that this gift, as are the others, is still in operation, then there are some things that will never ever change in our lives except by a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Or many things that God wants to do supernaturally in our lives may not ever happen except by a miracle. So I want the body to believe and to understand that miracles still exist. Miracles still exist. If you are a member of the body of Christ, you're a candidate for a miracle. And every time I hear in the body of Christ, I don't care in what part of the world it's in, I get excited about the miracles because it lets me know that it's still working and operational, and my miracle could be today. I expect a miracle every day. God will make a way. I don't have to see how it's going to be made. All I got to know is the one who can make the way. Amen. Listen at this. It says to another prophecy. And prophecy is no more than one who's been given the gift to interpret the divine will and purpose of God for one's life. That's what a prophet is. Or a prophecy is. The divine interpretation of a will and purpose for someone's life. And God has gifted some people who can look at you and walk up to you and say, you know what? God has just revealed to me such and such that's going to reveal the purpose and the will of God for your life, for a certain season, etc. in your life. Everybody can't do that. Everybody who's anointed with God's Spirit cannot do that. So don't fool yourself and don't let everybody speak into your life that doesn't agree with your spirit or with the Word of God. You got to be careful because there are some folk, God only know. You know, I would be messed up till eternity if I let every person that claimed they were of God speak into my life and say what God was going to do. Some of the stuff, again, that was so elementary that they didn't understand, I understood that that was out of the will of God. God is not going to go against his word or his will or his way. And when you don't know the word, that's the first evidence, again, of being able to be fooled by the enemy, because you don't know if that's God's will or not. One of the truths of the word is his word reveals his will. His will reveals his way. All of them are interconnected, and one is not separated from the other. So if I stay in his word long enough, he's going to reveal his will by his word. I'm going to understand how to walk in that will by going or doing it his way. He doesn't violate that. And when people try to speak into your life some stuff that don't line up with the word, the will, and the way, you can tell them, well, I thank you for what you shared for you, because that ain't for me. That must have been somebody else. I'm sorry, that wasn't my word. I don't receive that. Don't be scared to tell folk who give you the wrong message. You don't receive that. I've been at the place where the deliverer of mail has put the wrong addressed mail in my box. And just because she put it in my box or he put it in my box don't mean it belonged to me. When I saw it wasn't my mail, I had to say, excuse me, this don't belong to me. Or even if it was my address and they no longer live here, they don't live here, and take this mail back and take it or give it or return it to the one who sent it. You know, when somebody speaks a word and it's real, it's relevant, and all of that, and it ministers your spirit, you say, I receive it. In Jesus' name, I receive it. If it's not, I rebuke it. In Jesus' name, the devil is, he's a... I don't receive that, brother. I don't receive that. No. You need to come again. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Look again. To another. Discerning of spirits. Now, God has gifted some people in the body of Christ who can discern whether the spirit or spirits in you are of God. Gift to discern the spirit. People come up and they talk to you. I can tell that. What kind of spirit that is right there. It could be a spirit of deception, spirit of lies. I mean, spirit of this, that, and the other, so forth, whatever it is. But it is a recognizing of the spirit that is operating in that person. When Jesus saw the spirit operating in Peter, he saw the Holy Spirit giving him revelation 1 minute, and he received it. He said, flesh and blood, Simon Barjona, have not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Not many minutes later, spirit of error got in Peter, and Jesus told him, I've got to go, I've got to die, and all the rest of that. Peter got bold. I got to tell you, some of these spirits are bold. You got to recognize them bold demons. Call them out. Jesus was telling them, and Peter going to tell Jesus. He literally rebuked Jesus. Jesus, turn around.
What did he say?
Get thee behind me, Satan. Peter didn't even know Satan was all on the inside. Spirit was in him on the 1 minute. Satan was in him on the next minute. And Jesus could tell who was who. Somebody don't hear me. That's why you if you're not careful, my brothers and my sisters, and of course, now that was before the endowment of the Holy Ghost, before the Holy Ghost came to live and reside on the inside of us, there is no place for Satan and the Spirit in one individual to occupy and to play that kind of matter today as such. And so again, the truth of the matter is the Holy Ghost, who reveals to us, as he did in Jesus' time, what spirit is operating in a person. Some people have been gifted to be able to detect that just like that. Some of you don't detect it till it's all done and over with.
I was such a fool.
Yeah, without the Holy Ghost, you are.